Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Robin Simpson. I retired from the Army in January this year after 35 years, and I've been a military GP through all my career. When I was serving, I met some veterans, and a number of them told me their long stories of how GPs were really not very familiar with veterans, didn't know what the special needs of veterans were, and didn't know what to do with them. So the aim of this podcast is to make you aware of the RCGP Veterans Accreditation Program. In this program, we're accrediting practices as veterans friendly, making them more aware of the needs of veterans and making them more aware of what's available to support veterans. For your information, there are about 2.2 or 2.3 million veterans in this country. That's about the same number of diabetics that you have. So you probably, as a GP, know how many diabetics you have, but do you have that many veterans? So what do we mean by a veteran? A veteran is anyone that served in the military, that's the Army, Navy, or Air Force, or the Merchant Navy, for one day. So they serve one day, then and they leave, then they become a veteran. The majority of those in the military serve for about 12 years. And then they leave the military, and then they'll be looked after by you as a GP. Many veterans transit from the military to becoming a veteran without any problem whatsoever, and then they fit back into being looked after by their GP. But a proportion, and a significant proportion, actually leave the military with problems, and as a result, they'll end up coming to see their GP. And when they do see the GP, the GP has some understanding of the needs of a veteran, they'll be better placed to look after them. And that's the aim of this podcast, to make you more aware of what are the needs of veterans. So hopefully you as a practice will make the step of becoming accredited as a veterans-friendly practice. So to help me in this podcast, I've got two guests. And first of all, I'd like Ash Winter to introduce himself, please. Over to you, Ash.
Thank you very much. I'm Ashley Winter. I served for 14 years in the military, specifically the Army. And the reason I'm here is to give you a better understanding of what it's like to be a soldier in that the transition period from becoming a soldier to a civilian and ultimately a veteran of the armed forces and the problems that I've endured myself.
Listen, thank you very much, Ash. And I've also got Dr. Matthew Bolter, who's actually, he was a regular army doctor, and now he's a reservist doctor, but he's an NHS GP working down in the southwest of England. Matthew, could you tell us about why you're involved with this program and your experience in your practice in looking after veterans?
Yeah, certainly. So we became a veteran-friendly practice about 18 months to 2 years ago now, and it was the whole practice buy-in. We feel as a practice we've benefited because we can serve our veteran population so much better with an increased awareness. And I've become an advocate and a champion of the program, really, and I'm very happy to advertise it to colleagues elsewhere in the country.
Matthew, that's really helpful. So, you know, as I've said, there are about 2.4 million veterans. That means that if you're a GP with a list size of about 1,800, you should have between 30 and 50 veterans on your books. So a question for you is, do you know how many veterans you actually look after? I suspect you know about a few, but not that many. So, Ash, you as a patient, when you became a veteran, what the problems that you faced, first of all, as a patient, and then your interaction with your GP?
I think the biggest problem for me was the change in dynamics, really, because as a soldier, if you have any ailments and you need to go and see the doc, you will turn up at 8:30 on the morning, go and see the doctor, get your prescription free of charge, and that's it, done. The difference being a veteran is, you know, a lot of us settle in very different areas, maybe an area that you don't know. You don't know how to to register even. I know a lot of people in my line of work now who haven't registered with a GP because they don't know how to. The issue is doing something that you don't know what to do. It sounds very strange, but in the army, well, in the armed forces, sorry, you get told what to do, when to do it, where to go, and everything seems to be very simple for you. And coming out here as a veteran, finding these things is quite difficult. And just going into a surgery or thinking, yes, I need to go and see somebody. You know, you go to the door there and you think there's a few terms that we use in the military that, you know, you don't go sick or go to the GP because, you know, it may make you seem weaker than the next person. So, you know, you don't want anything on your record to show that you're not well. So that was the biggest thing to start with is finding where to do it and how to do it.
So, Ash, without going into details about your own particular problems, you know, you did end up seeing a GP. You did get, you know, what was your experience once you were registered with a GP?
I'm quite forward in my ways now. When I first left and went to see the GPs, I didn't really want to talk about my experiences and how I was feeling because I just automatically assumed that this person wouldn't understand where I've been, what I've done, because, you know, in the military, we are quite unique in what we do and what we see. I don't even talk to my wife about it. So why would I talk to essentially a complete stranger? And that was quite a big barrier for me, really.
Okay. Did you eventually talk to your GP about some of the things that you'd been through when you were serving? And what sort of things are we talking about?
I did speak to them eventually. I've got another health condition away from the mental side of things. So that was a bit of a talking point, really. So we chatted quite a lot about my physical condition, which isn't related to the military at all. And that was sort of an icebreaker, really. It worked to gain that bond between myself and the GP. And then I felt really comfortable in opening up eventually. And to be honest, as it turns out, my GP, who I now know quite well, has got connections with the military that I didn't know about in the first place. So if I had have started talking in the first place, this would have become apparent and you know, that barrier wouldn't have been there.
Ash, listen, thank you very much for sharing that. So Matthew, you as in your GP capacity, you know, what sort of problems have you come across with veterans and how has your practice developed their services now that they've become veterans friendly? Over to you, Matthew.
Well, I think I would certainly pick up and reflect on what Ash said there about, you know, don't underestimate the difficulty, first of all, for some people, for veterans, navigating and understanding the NHS, because it's an anathema to them, they have no experience, and just registering, say, can be a barrier. There is a certain shared language and credibility and understanding between veterans. So I think having that experience myself, it makes it easier to relate to veteran patients because you can have a more honest conversation and, you know, the barrier that Ash refers to isn't as apparent, one hopes. And there's a host of organizations there and a wide range of specific support available to veterans in that for a variety of health needs and not just mental health, hearing and musculoskeletal conditions and, you know, and funding. So having an awareness of that, which I've now developed after we've been a member of the accreditation scheme, means I can, you know, support veterans in a much more complete and rounded way.
Matthew, thanks very much. And could you just give us an overview? I mean, Ash alluded to mental health problems. They're perhaps the things that are most topical. But, you know, what sort of mental health issues do you see amongst veterans?
I mean, it's it's PTSD in the main, and that's in both veteran regular service and veteran reserve service. And it's often been dismissed for many years, and there's a lag of maybe 10, 15, 20 years until this finally rears its head and a veteran will come to you and admit that they've got anger issues and their marriage is in trouble and they're drinking too much and they've tried to bottle things up for way too long. And eventually they understand, we can help them understand actually, that it's demons from the past that have never been addressed. So I think, yeah, it's a PTSD picture in the main, and you know, almost always down to, not always, but almost always down to, you know, combat experience and often, you know, death of colleagues or injury to colleagues around them.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned alcohol. Is that often part of the picture? You know,
I think, yes, sadly, all too often, the military tends to be a drinking culture. And that, you know, often carries on after people leave. So people, it's, you know, fairly common to see, you know, self-medicate with alcohol as a way of escaping, not by all means, but yeah, it can be a common picture.
Mm-hmm. And what I find, it's often that they present with the alcohol problem, and actually, you know, that actually hides the PTSD. The alcohol is kind of the escape mechanism. I mean, there are other mental health problems. It's not just alcohol and PTSD, but I do think those are the things that came out top. And of course, there are physical problems. You know, you get injured while you're serving, so it's not just mental health. But you know, under the military covenant, you shouldn't be disadvantaged because of your military service, and therefore the NHS has a requirement to make sure that veterans are given treatments appropriate to the condition, and if it's as a result of the service, you know, that they perhaps should be seen sooner rather than later. Okay, so those are the sort of problems that we've got to deal with. So what's the RCGP done about it? Well, the RCGP Veterans Accreditation Program is meant to be a low challenge, not an extra work, but an accreditation that will actually help you look after a population that you're already looking after. So what we need from you in the practice is a nominated GP to take the leads. They may well be ably assisted by anyone else in the team, but there does need to be a nominated GP. We need the practice to have a satisfactory CQC rating. We need them to have done some training, which may well involve watching this particular podcast, and really have an interest in veterans. And that's what the accreditation process is about. It's meant to be a low challenge. Once you're accredited, there are a huge number of training resources available to you, and also access to the information about the different referral pathways, particularly for mental health. So that actually, if you do come across a patient and you are veterans accredited, you'll have a package of information which will tell you about the referral pathways that will actually fast track your military veterans into the NHS, specifically if they've got mental health problems. So that's the project in outline detail. More information is available on the college website. Ash, what difference would it have made to you if you'd known from your starts that your practice and your GP were veterans friendly? You discovered eventually that your GP had a military connection, but what would have been the difference perhaps if they were more veterans friendly at the beginning of your journey once you left the military?
I think quite simply, it would make you feel at ease. And if you feel at ease, you certainly open up about things a lot more. I was diagnosed with adjustment disorder and anxiety, which was, you know, came from leaving the military into a transition into civilian life. And I think that's a big part of it is going to see somebody that you can relate to. Now, it doesn't have to necessarily be somebody that's served in the armed forces at all, but just somebody that knows that little bit about it, or that little bit of information that they can signpost, be it a welfare officer from a certain charity or just a leaflet or something, just to make that person think, yes, I am welcome here.
And actually, if someone had asked you earlier on about your, you know, where did you serve and shown an interest, do you think you would have told them more than you did at that point?
I think I would do, yeah.
I mean, I when I'm doing a home visit, I always like, if I see a picture of someone in the military on the mantelpiece, I always ask a question, and I'm then there for another 20 or 30 minutes because they're really interested. So Ash, thanks for that. And Matthew, for you as a practice being accredited, I mean, you were already interested in veterans because you are a veteran, but what difference has the accreditation program given to you? I think you've alluded to some of the points already, but in summary, what difference has it made to your practice?
Well, I think I would repeat, stress what you said before. It's not an onerous thing to become accredited. So we now have information in our practice leaflet. So when new patients register, there's details there to ensure people can flag themselves up if they choose to, and as a veteran. And then we literally have an electronic flag or pop up on the notes. So every time you enter that patient's notes, it pops up that that person is a military veteran. And I'll even detail sometimes where they served. You know, whether it be Northern Ireland, Kosovo, you know, Normandy, or whatever, it's of interest, and it can get that conversation going quite early on. So it was a whole practice buy-in, and you know, from receptionist onwards, really, from that first point of contact. So when they open their notes, they can see that, and perhaps they might direct a certain patient towards me, knowing, oh, actually, here's a veteran, and he wants a, you know, he's got a mental health issue. Well, send him to see Matthew, because yeah, that's what he's trying to do to help these people in a more focused way, really. And I have amassed, and I keep a sort of various links to websites and a database of local and sort of national services, charities, regimental associations that are available. So when I can, I can, you know, use those resources to help the veteran. I think also just one step wider, I know one lady came along concerned about her husband, and he was the veteran, but she came to see me knowing that I'd have more of an understanding because he had the mental health problems that he wasn't admitting to, and that gave me an in to be able to address the problems with him directly. So I think, you know, veterans aren't living alone, they do live as part of a wider family. And I think the wider family in the context, once someone is out of the military, is equally important.
I think that's a really good point. We've concentrated on veterans, but actually the family comes with the veteran. And, you know, sort of my family, like other military families, we lived in 21 different houses. We lived all over the world, and there's lots of plus points, but that makes us different. So, you know, the families also have special needs. So it sounds like you're doing an excellent job, Matthew. And, you know, thank you for leading way with the accreditation program. So we're coming to an end of this podcast. I'm really grateful for you as a practice listening. We really hope that you'll make that step in contacting the RCGP through the website to go through the steps. It's not onerous to become an accredited practice as veterans friendly. And I think you'll find as a practice, it's a great team activity. And I think for your veterans patients and their families, they'll much appreciate it. So I'm really grateful for you listening. The next step for you is to go onto the college website and look into more details as to actually what you do for the accreditation. I'd particularly like to thank Ash Winter, our military patient. And I'd really like to thank Matthew and all his team for being one of the leading practices with veterans accreditation. Thank you very much for listening.